T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
The man is back. Curry! Curry! One more time. Curry! You know what? One more time for the people. Steph Curry making his return tonight against the Toronto Raptors in what I would consider to be the most anticipated Warrior game of the 2019-2020 season. Or 2020-21 season, excuse me. Get my years all mixed up. But Steve Kerr was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday, and I'm going to play a few sound clips for you talking about how they're going to use Steph in a second. But one thing really stood out was the fact that when he was talking to Damon, and it was just Ratto yesterday, so just Damon and Ratto, instead of Damon Ratto and Kolsky. But when Steve Kerr was talking about the season as a whole, and he couldn't think of the record that they had, just shows me where they're at in the season. That's got to be the first time where Steve Kerr has tried to talk about the record and couldn't remember it. He couldn't remember what their actual record was. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 888-957-9570. Of course, if you want to get in on the conversation, what do you expect to see from tonight from Steph? What do you want to see? Do you want to see the connection between him and Andrew Wiggins? Do you want to see how the rookies are going to work around him now that he's actually working with rookies who have had a few games under their belt instead of giving them 25 minutes right out of the gate? What do you want to see from Steph tonight? But here is Steve Kerr. He joined Damon and Ratto yesterday for the Damon Ratto and Kolsky show, and he had this to say about Stephen Curry.
The biggest thing is just, you know, getting Steph on the floor and acclimated. We're going to for sure limit his minutes. I mean, we'll probably play him in shorter bursts. You know, normally over the years, you know, our fans have watched him play, you know, the whole first quarter, sit out 6 minutes of the second quarter, and then finish the half. And ultimately, that's what we'll probably get to. But tomorrow night, probably play him in six-minute bursts and even below 30 minutes for sure, probably somewhere in the 25-minute range.
25, 30 minutes for Steph Curry, six-minute burst. But it depends, though. If they happen to be going to the fourth quarter, possibly getting a win, I wouldn't be opposed to them keeping him in there for a little more than 25 to 30 minutes. Now, that's not how, let's just say, the Pelicans with Zion Williamson, let's just say that's not how they handled him at the beginning when he started out. He didn't even matter if they were close in the game. Alvin Gentry's like, nah, I'm going to sit Zion. I got to do this. So the minutes restriction, it could be there. But hey, if they're going for the win against the Raptors tonight, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Here's Steve Kerr. He continued on how they'll use Steph going forward.
No, it's all going to be day to day. You know, we'll see how he's doing the following day after the game and go from there. I mean, I think everything is really a possibility, but it'll all be determined, you know, on Steph's health.
And is he a good enough? Is he honest enough to tell you the truth, or are you going to have to drag it out of him?
No, he'll tell the truth. He understands, you know, what's at stake, and that this needs to be a full recovery. And so if he's, you know, if he's struggling at all, he'll he'll sit out. But, you know, hopefully everything goes well, knock on wood, and he gets to finish out all these.
Curry!
I'm legitimately excited. Now that the day's actually here and we know he's going to play, I was looking forward to that game against the Wizards. Man, I was looking forward to that. And then when you get the news that Steph's not going to be playing, you're thinking, all right, well, I get it. I understand it. That conspiracy theory thrown out by Brian Scalabrine was just thrown out the window completely with the whole Bradley Beal thing, that the fact that he wanted Steph and Bradley Beal to be on the floor at the same time just in case for next season so that they could talk to each other afterwards. There was a conspiracy there, but that clearly didn't come true. But I'm looking forward to it tonight, and I think going against the Raptors too, Steph might feel a little bit of revenge. That revenge factor, because I don't think that he wanted to be taken down by the Raptors last season in that last game. From the 510 on the Chillin' Auto Body text line, I want to see how the left hand is working, then how Draymond and him work, then how Draymond, Steph, and Wiggins work. And from the 408 on the Chillin' Auto Body text line, is Green playing tonight? And on my list, there are three that I have, but my number one was going to be seeing if him and Draymond Green would be on the floor. It's a question of whether Draymond will be out there. He was questionable for this last game and then was out kind of last second, so I expect that he'll be back. And if Steph's back, then Draymond's, he's not going to be having any more of these injuries, right? Quote-unquote injuries. He's not going to be taking any games off. Like, if Steph comes back and it's Steph's first game, Draymond will definitely be out there. So that would be my number one. My number two is, of course, how he'll work with Andrew Wiggins. Here is Steve Kerr talking about that.
What we've already seen is what a good passer Andrew is. You know, he had 10 assists last night, and particularly when he gets ahead of steam downhill on those high screens and drives down the lane, he's so tall, he sees over the top of the defense. So he's been picking teams apart. And when you think about having, you know, Steph Curry on the other end of those passes, it's pretty exciting. And so I think that's what we're looking for, is just the connection between the two of them. You know, you have to play with a guy to understand where he's going to be, what his comfort zone is, and it usually takes a little bit of time. So I think that process will be important. And I think all in all, people have focused so much on Andrew, on what Andrew has not done, that all of a sudden, in a weird way, he's become underrated, because he's, you know, he's not LeBron, he's not Kobe, he's not the superstar that people predicted, but what he is, he's a really good player. And you see what he's doing for us defensively, passing the ball, scoring in transition, scoring in the half court. A gifted player, and he's fit right in.
Yeah, and not only is he just going to be receiving passes from Steph Curry, but my biggest question too is, it's not necessarily, when I'm talking about Steph and Andrew Wiggins, it's not necessarily when the ball is in Steph's hands, but it's when Steph gives it up and he goes run into the corner, and it's whether Andrew Wiggins will be moving out of that corner and moving to set a screen for Steph. How Andrew Wiggins is going to be moving off the ball when Steph's off the ball as well, and Steph's bobbing and weaving and doing everything that he can do to get open and being Steph of old. I want to see how Andrew Wiggins works around that so he can kind of get used to it. Steve Kerr has been implementing that more and more in his offense with guys like Jordan Poole playing point guard, because Jordan Poole is the type of guy that can shoot the three off the catch and off the dribble. So I'm wondering how Andrew Wiggins is going to be moving around in the lineup. You know, the defense is still going to be there. We know that he can pass the ball. He showed that in this last game against the Nuggets. He put on a showcase of that, especially in that fourth quarter. And the third thing that I'm going to be watching out for, though, is Jordan Poole. I want to see how Jordan Poole works when he's just a true shooting guard instead of being a point guard like he's forced to be in these past few games since Kai Bowman's been out. I want to see how Jordan Poole works when he's got Steph. And we had a little snippet of that. We had a small sample size at the beginning of the season when Steph played in the first four games. But that was when you were throwing Jordan Poole out there for 27, 28 minutes, times that rookies never got with the Warriors team, which we hadn't seen any rookies get with the Warrior team right out the gate, but that had to be done. So now that Jordan Poole has progressed in this season and we've seen it work, He's progressed a little bit as a point guard, but I want to see how Jordan Poole works as a shooting guard with Steph on the floor. And I wonder if he's going to be the starter. So I'm looking for the starting lineup tonight to be Steph, Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and then Marquese Chriss at center. And then have Eric Paschal come off the bench as a sixth man. I think Eric Paschal is going to benefit greatly from this too. Not going to be left so much just playing ISO ball, which it felt like he's been able to do recently. He's been getting to the rim a lot more. He's been able to use his strength. But that's my main question, though. My main three things. One, how's he going to work with Draymond? Are they just going to get right back into the swing of things like the old times? Like, are Steph and Draymond going to be moving quicker than everybody else when the defense turns into offense? How are they going to work in transition? Number two is, how is he going to work with Andrew Wiggins, and how is Andrew Wiggins going to be when he moves off the ball and when basically Steph gets into a mode where possibly you can't just let him pass up a shot? Where Steph, it's give Steph the ball time. Wonder if that's going to come up tonight, how Andrew Wiggins would handle that if that moment were to come up. And then Jordan Poole. How's he going to work with Jordan Poole, who's mostly been working at point guard for the last few games and has progressed greatly at point guard? But Steve Kerr continued on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, and he talked about getting the team's worst effort consistently.
Over the last 5 years, we're used to getting team's best effort. And this year, to be perfectly blunt, we're used to getting their worst effort. Teams take us for granted because we have the worst record in the league. So frequently we will play a team that just lets their guard down. And if they do, and we're making shots, those are the nights where we can come out and get a win or battle till the end. And teams, you know, because of where we are, just, you know, they haven't respected us as much. You see a lot of guys resting against us, sitting out. And it's the ultimate irony after what we've had for the last 5 years, but it's just the truth.
That's exactly what you saw in that game against the Nuggets. Not only did they have a great night shooting the ball in the fourth quarter, but the Nuggets just weren't even trying on defense toward the end there. They were giving them open shots wherever they wanted. The Nuggets were rushing everything and not hurrying back up on defense. And you could tell Michael Malone was getting incredibly frustrated with the team, but that's where we're at right now. That's where we've been at, is that we get in the team's worst effort. I don't think you're going to be seeing that tonight, because one of the things that's made the Raptors so deadly is that even without Kawhi in the lineup, they've been giving every team their best effort. They go out there, like, watching that team, they're scrappy. Watching Kyle Lowry, he's great in the regular season. It remains to be seen how he'd perform in the playoffs. But Pascal Siakam, he can pretty much do whatever he wants now. He's one of the most, he won the most improved player last year. But, I mean, that guy, he's even more improved than he was from last year when he won the most improved player. And you got a backup point guard like Fred VanVleet, who's incredibly scrappy. You got Serge Ibaka on that team. You got a lot of guys who can score the basketball, who can play good defense, and they're just very well coached. So going to be interesting to see Steph tonight, how he's going to work with all these guys. Hopefully Draymond comes back into this game tonight. We haven't seen him in a while. It feels like he's just wanted to take a couple of nights off ever since that ejection. But I do have a weird question coming up, though. And I want to know from you, I need your help on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Life or death is on it. Life is on the line here. Okay. And your life comes down to a ping pong match. Which Bay Area athlete would you choose as your representative? You can't play on your own. You have to choose one Bay Area athlete to play a ping pong match for your life. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Who are you going to be taking? I'll explain why this hypothetical is coming up next. Stephen Langford doing all the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Your life depends on a ping pong match. You're not allowed to play in it, but you have to choose one representative. and that representative has to be a Bay Area athlete. So my question, if you had to choose a Bay Area athlete to play and win a ping pong match, which depends on life or death, which Bay Area athlete would you want to be your representative? I'll explain why I'm throwing out this hypothetical in a second. The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Three generations, 65 years of experience, and seven Bay Area locations give us the winning edge. When you succeed, we succeed. That's Golden State Lumber at goldenstatelumber.com. I know tonight is the return for Stephen Curry, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but I did want to throw this out there because for the Giants in spring training, one thing that Gabe Kapler wanted to instill was some sort of team culture building. He wanted to instill camaraderie among the players. He wanted to get to know them. He was all about that. If you watched any of his introductory press conference where he went on for a half hour, he was all about inclusivity and getting guys together, basically, to, you know, be a team, get along. So one thing that he's doing right now is he is currently holding a ping pong tournament. And that's going to be coming up. There's no clear-cut favorite for the ping pong tournament, but he's going to be holding it among these Giants players. And so I just wanted to throw out the question there. Who in Bay Area sports, if you had a ping pong match that's life or death, your life is on the line, but you couldn't play in it. You had to choose one representative, and that representative had to be an athlete from the Bay Area. I wanted to make it broader. But which Bay Area athlete would you choose? Basically, it's just a fun way of asking which Bay Area athlete do you think is the best ping pong player? Because that, to me, he did this with the Phillies, so take it for what it is. We saw how the Phillies worked last season, had a ton of talent on their team, but couldn't get anything done. But this year, that's what he's doing right now, was holding another ping pong tournament. So I wanted to know from you on the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795, which Bay Area athlete do you think could win a match for you if your life were on the line? From the 925, Klay Thompson all day. He'd be my ping pong rep. He could play in the Olympics if he wanted to in ping pong. From the 510, shout out Balls of Fury. That was one of the strangest, funny movies that I've ever seen in my life. The last guy that you expected to be that master of ping pong if you didn't see any of the commercials. But it's like when they came out with Christopher Walken as the master of ping pong. Like that was, wow. Balls of Fury. Haven't seen that in a while. From the 925, Forrest Gump. Yeah, Forrest Gump, total Bay Area athlete, but yeah, I mean, who wouldn't choose Forrest Gump? Dude knows how to play ping pong. But from the 925, Klay Thompson all day, be my ping pong rep. He could play in the Olympics if he wanted to play in ping pong. He's got the single from the 707. The single best Bay Area athlete I would choose would be Klay Thompson. Again, he's been in China for the last few years doing business. Plus, he seems like he has that cool demeanor to be good at basically anything he tries. He strikes me as, so we've already gotten two Klay Thompsons. We got one Forrest Gump. We got a shout out to Balls of Fury from the 650. Because he is so awkward, I would pick Hunter Pence. That's from Mark. And from the 415, all right, you're backing it up here. Tom Hanks is from the Bay Area. So, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, man. From the 707, Brad Gilbert, the master of winning ugly. That's another Bay Area one, too. Man, yeah, from the 925, Joe Staley, legendary ping pong player. I want you to continue to roll those texts in, because I wanted to get a pulse. Ping pong players are a different type of athlete. That sport, if you want to call it a sport, do we call ping pong a sport? I'd call it a sport. That sport takes the precision and skill of a barber. I don't know. I couldn't even think of a great one. But I think that when you think of ping pong, you think of someone who is cool with just kind of playing he's cool with just playing a sport in a garage and being down there for hours. If I could pick one, I would probably look at Klay Thompson. But for me, and this is such a – I hate this cliche answer that I'm about to give, but the best ping pong player from the Bay Area, if I had to choose one, life or death, in a life or death situation, and I had to choose a representative to play in a ping pong game, in a ping pong match, whatever you call them, I would probably choosing this guy.
Curry!
I mean, Steph Curry, and this is, so, like, Curry is the most, when you look at him, when you just watch him play different sports, when it's, I mean, obviously basketball, but when you watch him play golf, when I watched him when JaVale McGee was having his Jug Life softball tournament out here, his softball game, and you watch Steph Curry out there. Steph Curry looked like the best player on the field. That dude is just a natural athlete. And these natural athletes, they tend to be incredibly good at ping pong. So I hate that I'm giving the cliche answer, but my number one would be Steph Curry. Number two, this guy was in the Bay Area, but, you know, he's going to Las Vegas now. I would choose Derek Carr. I have a feeling Derek Carr could be a hell of a ping pong player because you don't need to hit it that far. You can you need accuracy, which he has. His completion percentage is right up there. But you don't have to throw it that deep all the time. You have to throw in, you have to make intermediate shots, short intermediate shots. I feel like Derek Carr could be good at that. A Derek Carr versus Jimmy Garoppolo ping pong match, that'd be one to watch out for. From the 510, played all-star baseball with a kid who everyone thought was like really, really good. He quit and took up ping pong. How about that? From the 415, people who play the sport competitively will tell you it's called table tennis, not ping pong. From the 925, how about Chelsea beating Liverpool, nice guy? Yeah, the old FA Cup. It's all we got to cheer for nowadays. Loved it, though. From the 669, George Kittle, party animal. George Kittle, if he were to be playing ping pong, he'd just be trying to smash it every single time. Have you ever played ping pong with somebody and they don't understand that it's not smart to just try and mash it every single time? You're gonna hit the table every now and then, maybe two out of every 15 shots. You just picture Kittle every single time hitting the ping pong. People are wondering, what the hell are you talking about, nice guy? Well, here's the thing. Gabe Kapler is holding a ping pong tournament for the Giants in spring training to get the camaraderie that he's always hoped for, to get that culture in the locker room, to build that rapport among guys who may or may not know each other. You do have some new faces in the building, so it's the way Gabe Kapler does it. I literally Googled Gabe Kapler and ping pong tournament yesterday, and it was an article from 2019 showing he did the exact same thing with the Phillies. So this is how Gabe Kapler feels he can get his players together. But it had me thinking which Bay Area athletes would possibly be the best ping pong players. And I think we got to go with someone with hockey. Anyone from the Sharks that would be a good hockey player, because Brent Burns would be that dude also who would just try and mash the ball without even thinking about getting it on the table. From the 650, Kittle will turn that into beer pong. That's JB for, yeah. And also from the 510, Kittle for beer pong. Yeah, I can picture that. This is from the 510, Steven from Hercules. I'd choose Tom Brady, local boy, would do anything to win, deflate the ping pong balls. But if you deflate the ping pong balls, that's not going to give you any sort of advantage. Now, if you maybe used cameras to spy on your opponent's practices beforehand, then yeah, maybe. From the 510, Barry Bonds with the huge elbow pad on, slamming on the opponent. Walking out with, like, Barry Bonds would do, you know, could you imagine Barry or let's just say Ichiro kind of doing their pre-at-bat sort of warm-up with the bat and having a stance? He'd have that stance with the ping pong paddle. He'd just be throwing his elbow up. From the 415, people who, ooh, I already read that one. But yeah, George Kittle would turn that into a beer pong sort of event for sure. There's a couple other things that I want to get to. And coming up at 5:35, going to talk a little bit more about Steph Curry, the return for him, what you want to see. But I wanted to have a little more fun this segment. And yesterday in Jeopardy, there was an answer that was given. And the question was, what is the nickname for the Philadelphia 76ers? What was the Philadelphia 76ers motto given to by Joel Embiid last season? And the answer was not what you'd expect. This is from Jeopardy last night.
Joel Embiid in 2019 won the trademark for this nickname of his that also describes the 76ers' strategy of improving the team. Paul.
What is Duo 180?
Nope. Margaret or Mike? What is the process?
What is Duo 180? And you can 100% bet that that would be a drop. From the 650, what up, nice guy? My ping pong rep or ping pong, ping pang balls of fury reference would be Gary Payton. I don't know how good he'd be, but can you imagine the trash talk he'd bring? That's Drake from Mountain View, the glove. Just bringing the glove to it from the 650. Matt Chapman, his athleticism is off the charts. I could get with that. From the 954, Curry wants to avenge the Raptors tonight in his return. That's going to be my biggest question going forward, and I'll play the sound from Steve Kerr coming up at 5:35. But there are going to be three main things that I'm going to be looking for as far as Steph's return. And the first one is going to be, first, does Draymond Green actually play? And if Draymond Green plays, are him and Steph going to be in lockstep with each other like they normally are? Number two is, how's he going to work with Andrew Wiggins? And that's just the natural question. That might be the obvious one, but not only is how just Andrew Wiggins going to work, shoot, is he going to get better shooting? Is he going to get those passes off? How's he going to work? But for me, it's going to be when both of them don't have the ball in their hands and Steph is going to be moving around screens, doing what he needs to do to get open, and is Andrew Wiggins going to be ready for the quickness of that? Steve Kerr's tried getting him ready with Jordan Poole at point guard, using him as kind of a Steph Curry type, using him as an example. But how is Andrew Wiggins going to be moving when both him and Steph are off the ball? And also, is he going to continue to play defense when Steph's on the floor? How's that going to turn out too for Steph? That's not even on my list. My number three is Jordan Poole going to be going back to a shooting guard instead of playing the natural point guard that he's been playing since Kai Bowman's been out? It's funny. We've been seeing. Do we really think it's funny if I say it's funny? Not really funny, but it's interesting. It's more interesting than funny that Jordan Poole has been playing point guard for the past few games, and this is where we've seen the most improvement. When Steph's off the floor, Jordan Poole is going to be in there at point guard. I wonder if they're going to start him at the two spot tonight. I wonder about that. From the 650, mine would be Pablo Sandoval because he doesn't want to see a large panda slap patties. Look, it's a weird conversation to have, but when Gabe Kapler, as soon as I saw that he was having a ping pong tournament for the Giants, I was wondering which Bay Area athlete would be the best. And from the 408, I asked for a shark and they mentioned Patrick Marleau. Well, Patrick Marleau not really there anymore, so that don't really work. If you want to count Patrick Marleau, sure, since he was here for such a long time, but not here anymore. From the 925, Joe DiMaggio, born in Martinez and raised in the Bay. That's Ham from Pittsburgh. From the 415, Draymond Green. That way he can get ejected and I'd be screwed. Wow. Things got a little dark. I feel like Draymond would be a good ping pong player, though. He has that competitiveness. All right. You're going to hear from Steve Kerr. He joined Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. He talked about the return for Steph Curry and a myriad of other things. And I'm also going to be asking a question regarding Zion Williamson and Luka Doncic. We'll get into all that next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show on 95.7 The Game is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. That's Golden State Lumber at Golden State Lumber. Jeremy.com. From the 650, we're getting some obscure ones from the 650. We got Jeremy Lin. We got Jock Peterson. We are getting some Bay Area ones. Interesting. For guys that you would take in a match if your life depended on it, your representative from the Bay Area who you would take in a ping pong match. And that all stems from a conversation about Gabe Kapler and that he wants to get the Giants involved together, the culture, he wants to get it going with a ping pong tournament at spring training. I don't know how much a ping pong tournament would do, but the other thing that's come out from Giants spring training as well, and I'm going to get to Steve Kerr here in a second to talk about Steph Curry, and then we'll talk about that for the remainder of the show. But the other thing that came out in the article was that Buster Posey went back to using a flip phone so he doesn't see what everyone else is saying on social media. He said it's very frustrating trying to text. And all I could say with Buster Posey is, yeah, probably a good thing you're not looking at social media at this time. Here is Steve Kerr. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kulski yesterday. It was just Damon and Ratto. Kulski was out. But Steve Kerr was on, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, to talk about the return for Stephen Curry tonight against the Raptors.
Steve, thank you very much for joining us in an awfully long season that has frustrated you. I thought last night was an awful lot of fun, and we get the news today that Steph Curry joins the fun coming up tomorrow. We like that an awful lot. Welcome, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting outside on a cloud in the sky. It's warm. We're on a hot streak. I mean, what else is there?
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
There's beer.
Oh, and beer. Yeah, well, that's coming in a little while.
We got to talk about how you put together that win last night, but we cannot bury the headline. The headline is Steph Curry is back tomorrow. He's made the announcement on social media. When you heard, when you were told it's going to happen, what was your first thought, Steve? Good? Finally? I can stop answering this question?
More than anything, just happy for Steph. You know, he really wanted to come back Sunday against Washington. And we had to kind of really push him to take that extra day in Santa Cruz and get the scrimmage in, get more work in. We just wanted to be really careful with everything. And yeah, this has been a long, long haul for Steph, and he loves playing so much. So, you know, I'm happy for us. Obviously, I'm happy for our fans, but I'm happiest for Steph just because he's going to be back playing basketball and doing what he loves.
What did you learn about the level of his patience? Because if he was climbing up the walls for Washington, he must have been unbearable this week.
Well, I think, you know, the thing that always stands out about Steph is he's just very rational, you know, and as passionate as he is about life and basketball and family and everything, you know, he always approaches everything from a very rational standpoint. And so even though he wasn't thrilled about putting out a few extra days, he understood it. And, you know, now that he's just, you know, finally on the cusp, and he's been working so hard every single day for months now. He's just excited, and we're excited, and you know, none of it surprises me. Just his work ethic, his patience, his passion, his excitement. It's all who Steph is, and we're so lucky to have him.
So, what if you had to prioritize it? Do you want to see from him more than anything else? Is it just the health of his hand? Is it how he interacts with Andrew Wiggins? What is it that most interests you about his return?
Jimmy, you know, that's what I'm looking for.
Fair enough.
You there?
Yeah, we're here. Are you there?
Yeah, I said mainly the shimmy, but apparently.
Oh, the shimmy. Oh, oh.
You faded out
a little,
for a
yeah.
second.
Your phone is burping on us a little bit here, Steve.
I got you.
But
I thought I had made it, you know, a nice little joke.
Oh no, it was a great joke.
That didn't go over so well.
It didn't last in the retelling, but that's because of technology.
I got you. No, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, getting stuff on the floor and acclimated. We're going to, you know, for sure limit his minutes. I mean, we'll probably play him in shorter bursts. You know, normally over the years, you know, our fans have watched him play, you know, the whole first quarter. sit out 6 minutes of the second quarter and then finish the half. And ultimately, that's what we'll probably get to. But tomorrow night, probably play him in six-minute bursts and, move him below 30 minutes for sure, probably somewhere in the 25-minute range.
Yeah. Do you expect Tim Kawakami to breathlessly track his first second-quarter minutes in your rotation? Is it going right back to that instantly?
I would hope so. I would welcome the all of the speculation and the examination and everything else. I mean, we will be back in the spotlight again, and obviously having Steph out there is a good step to that.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. How long will Nick Nurse go before he puts the box and one on Steph tomorrow?
It wouldn't shock me if Nick did it right out of the gate, just to mess with us. He probably mixes up his defenses more than any coach in the league. And the funny thing is, despite the fact that we're, 13 and 47? Is that right?
It feels right.
I sort of stopped counting.
You've won four times since New Year's Eve. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, he was looking for that stat.
We actually have more shooting than we did in the finals. So, if you think about it, given what we're putting on the floor, we would actually be better against the box and one now. Now, I'm not saying we'd be better defensively and competitively and all that, but we'd be more suited to actually attack one now.
I've always said, Steve, when you give Juan Toscano-Anderson the space, you will pay for it.
Now, that's funny. That's good.
Here's the thing. In your entire coaching career, in your basketball life, have you ever won a game with less familiarity with your own team than you did last night? I mean, you had 9 players, 3 of them rookies, 3 on 10-day contracts. Michael Mulder starting his second game ever in the NBA. 2 other guys are on two-way contracts, and you're very familiar with them because those are Damian Lee and Marquise Chris.
Right. Yeah, it was a bizarre game. I mean, just from that standpoint, of having so many guys who either just got here or who have barely been here, and then to come out and play that well. Our guys were all excited and playing so hard at both ends of the floor, and the ball was going in. I mean, we made 18 threes last night. I think 10 in the first half, and we just got momentum going, and they felt it. The guys felt it. The defense kicked in. Beautiful to watch.
Did you get the sense as you were doing this that and I know you don't look at the other team very much because you're concentrating on the one that pays you, that Denver seemed to be surprised that not only were you not going away, but that you had changed a game that they had by the throat and took it by the throat yourself?
I think they were surprised. But I will say this. I mean, we over the last 5 years, we're used to getting, team's best effort. And this year, to be perfectly blunt, we're used to getting their worst effort. I mean, teams take us for granted because we have the worst record in the league. So frequently we will play a team that just lets their guard down. And if they do and we're making shots, then those are the nights where, we can come out and get a win or battle till the end. And teams, because of where we are, just they haven't respected us as much. You see a lot of guys, resting against us, sitting out, and it's the ultimate irony after what we've had for the last 5 years, but it's just the truth.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. There's been an awful lot of talk of, what Curry will look like next to Wiggins. I'm expecting it to look pretty darn good. I mean, I really am impressed with Andrew Wiggins. I keep on hearing what he's not when I'm concentrating on what he is, and I think he's a guy who is extending himself from an effort standpoint in ways that you're looking for. Maybe not all the time, but things are about to get a lot better in terms of NBA competency around him. What are you looking for specifically between Curry and Wiggins?
Well, I think what we've already seen is what a good passer Andrew is. He had 10 assists last night, and particularly when he gets ahead of steam downhill, on those high screens and drives down the lane. He's so tall. He sees over the top of the defense. And so he's been picking teams apart. And when you think about having, you know, Steph Curry on the other end of those passes, it's pretty exciting. And so I think that's what we're looking for, is just the connection between the two of them. You know, you have to play with a guy to understand where he's going to be, what his comfort zone is. And it usually takes a little bit of time. So I think that process will be important. And I think all in all, you know, you mentioned it, you know, people have focused so much on Andrew, on what Andrew has not done. That all of a sudden, he's in a weird way, he's become underrated, you know, because he's not LeBron, he's not Kobe, he's not the superstar that people predicted. But what he is he's a really good player. And you see what he's doing for us defensively, passing the ball, scoring in transition, scoring in the half court. A gifted player, and he's fit right in.
What's the prognosis for Draymond Green, both short term and longer term, between now and the end of the season?
Well, he's just been dealing with this nagging knee injury, and I just talked with our trainer, and it's sort of 50-50 still whether he'll play tomorrow, and he'll come in and hopefully have made some improvement with the knee. So short term, we're just, you know, trying to get him back to health. But long term, you know, he's obviously our starting four and the guy who we count on to charge up our battery and keep us competitive and, you know, organize our defense and just light the fire every night. And that's what he's done for a long time here. And that's going to be his role.
That's Steve Kerr. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. You can catch him weekly with them. And, of course, you can catch the rest of that interview at 957thegame.radio.com or on the radio.com app. Feel free to use the rewind feature. Go back, rewind, and go to the Steve Kerr interview. And there are a few things that I'm looking forward to, and I think there's also one prevailing thought around the return for Steph Curry and why people were on the other side of this approach of bringing him back. And the reason that everyone, at least the people who were on the opposition, were saying, don't want to aggravate his injury again. That was number one or number two, depending on who you're talking to. But the top two reasons were that, and also, if they start winning, I don't want to risk that draft pick. I don't want to risk being the number one in the lottery. Well, I will tell you this right now. These next few games, they got four home games coming up. Tonight, obviously, starting with the Raptors, who actually they could, it depends on who's going to be playing. You got Fred VanVleet, who will be out or who's questionable right now. You got Serge Ibaka, who's questionable. And then you got Marc Gasol, who's been out for a while, and he's also questionable. But those three have been out. So you got a chance tonight. But when you look ahead at the schedule, you got the Sixers, the Clippers, and the Nets all at home. And then you got you're going on the road for five straight games, and that'll be against the Bucks, the Raptors, the Pacers, and then you got the Pistons and the Knicks. So those two on the back end of that on the fourth and fifth game of that road trip. Yeah, that's not really too tough when you're going against the Pistons and the Knicks. But when you're looking at the Raptors, the Sixers, the Clippers, the Nets, the Bucks, the Raptors, and then the Pacers, all in a seven game stretch. I mean, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to even get a win type of win streak going. And we got one here on the Chill and Not a Body text line at 95795 from the 510. If Steph comes back and the Warriors win a few games in a row to take them out of the last three seeds, do you sit Curry? Well, it's not going to happen anytime soon. And this trip goes until the middle of March, until the 18th, and at which point you have 1 month left, and you still got another slate of tough games on the docket. But they're so far behind in the standings. I think with Steph, they can afford to at least win a few games. The Warriors are 14-48 right now. Then the next up would be the Cavs. And then the next up in that draft lottery would be the Hawks. Then the next up would be the Timberwolves. Then the next up would be the Knicks. And then the next up would be, actually, that's it, because you'd have all five. So really, the next team you're facing has 17 wins. And I don't think the Warriors are going to get the Warriors were 1-4 when Steph was on the floor earlier in the season. And the only win came against a Pelicans team who didn't have anyone of their starters on the floor. They didn't have Drew Holiday. They didn't have Derek Favors. And they didn't have Zion Williamson at that time. So they were playing a depleted Pelicans team, and that was the only win they got when Steph was on the court. Just because Steph is playing, it's going to be great to see him play, and I'm as excited to watch this game tonight as I am with any other game except for maybe the one against the Rockets on Christmas Day. I was really looking forward to that one. That's also because I was going. But this game against the Raptors, though, it's not a – in these next few games coming up – it's not like they're just guaranteed wins when Steph is on the floor. They're going to help. Like, it's going to help in scoring and everything when Steph is there. But also, like Steve Kerr said, he's going to be put on a minutes restriction. He's hoping to get him 6 minutes on the floor, 24 to 30 minutes a game. And if they're close, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, I think that Steve Kerr is going to treat Steph Curry kind of like how Alvin Gentry treated Zion when Zion first came back with the Pelicans. People were very disappointed in that game because they wanted to see more Zion, but Alvin Gentry was clearly given instruction to put him on a minutes restriction, to put Zion on a minutes restriction, and he didn't put him in the final few minutes of the game when they needed Zion most, even though he was keeping Zion out there for as much time as he could, to the point where Alvin Gentry's like, all right, I got to pull the plug on this. I gotta take you out. Like, that's how it's gonna be when Steph is on the floor. If they're in a situation where they're only down by a few points, they're within reach and they could get a win, and Steph's on fire, but it doesn't matter. He could just put him on the bench and rest him for that time. That's what the minutes restriction means. So just because Steph is gonna be playing, it doesn't guarantee them wins. I'm not worried about the lottery position in the first place, because I think these picks that you got going in the top five, I think you can, if you don't get that number one overall pick with James Wiseman, if that's going to be the number one overall pick, or let's just say Anthony Edwards, he could be the number one overall pick, but let's just say you don't get Wiseman. You got a couple of other guys too who the Warriors would pick up, and I'd be fine with Obi Toppin. Shout out to our producer, Arden, who one of our 95.7 The Game producers. He pointed this out yesterday, but Obi Toppin just reached 100 dunks in this last season. And Zion, when he played, obviously he was hurt, but when he played and including in the tournament, Zion only had 62. So you can be okay if you don't get that number one overall pick. It's not the be-all, end-all for this team in the future. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I'm just excited to see Steph out there. I do want to see that shimmy. When Steve Kerr mentioned that he wants to see the shimmy, I want to see the shimmy. That's one thing that you want to see from Steph. But I really am, and it's so boring of me to say this, but I'm really am curious to see when Steph and Andrew Wiggins do not have the ball in their hands. Let's just say Draymond's taking it out at the top of the key if Draymond does play tonight. And you got Andrew Wiggins, who is kind of watching Steph, not used to how quick Steph works. Steph's legs aren't going to be the problem. It's not like he's coming off an Achilles injury or an ACL injury. It's not going to be a problem moving off the ball, making cuts. He's going to be back full speed. What's going to be interesting is to see how Andrew Wiggins responds to that speed when they're both off the ball and you need Andrew Wiggins to move and set a screen so that Steph can get open for a three in the corner. That's what I'm looking forward to the most. Also, just to see if Eric Paschal and Jordan Poole, who have thrived in the past few games without Steph Curry on the floor and without Draymond, which is an interesting tidbit, but Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal, seeing how they, if they continue to keep up that progress, if Steph makes those two better. Because when Jordan Poole was on the floor, when Steph was there and he was giving him opportunities at shooting guard as the two, Jordan Poole wasn't exactly knocking him down. So that's going to be one to watch out for as well. Is Eric Paschal just going to be a catch-and-shoot from the mid-range guy, or is he actually just going to continue to take the ball in isolation? Is that what – I'm very interested to see a lot of these different nuances. And also Marquese Chriss. If Marquese Chriss can continue to be who he is, then I think – overall, it's just going to be a positive experience for every Warrior fan. From the 415, if all the fans really want to ensure the tanking, it's a bad, bad look. This team does not deserve a top pick, people. It's stealing one. Don't moan when the NBA fan base craps on an organization when it turns around the next year with a lame, stolen pick. Draft picks are the most unsure thing in sports. I don't think there's any more unsure thing. You can assume that Nick Bosa is going to be a monster, but they could have there was every possibility that in that year with that second overall pick that he might not have been the player that they'd hoped. And you get guys like Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Cleveland Furl, Josh Allen, those guys that were taken within the top 10 who were expected to be good. Cleveland Furl was really the only one who underperformed, but that's kind of an anomaly. As far as the NFL, those draft picks, they're not all that certain. And it's the exact same thing with the NBA. If you look at these players, these rookies this year, besides Ja Morant and Zion Williamson, you got a few good ones here and there, but none where you're looking at them and you're thinking, damn, that guy's going to be the future of the NBA. That guy's going to be an absolute star. I haven't seen much of that besides Ja Morant and Zion Williamson. You haven't seen much of that, really, besides – you haven't seen a second-year star besides Luka Doncic and Trae Young. Those guys have been killing it. But other than that, from that draft, you're not seeing guys who are just straight-up superstars. So the draft is the most unsure thing. I think that worrying about the draft pick, if Steph comes into the game, then – I mean, what are you watching basketball for? What are you watching – the whole point of watching sports is not only do we want our teams to win – but when we grasp on to our favorite type of players, we want to see them on the floor no matter what. And if they're going to be on the floor, I don't know why anyone would argue against it. If Klay Thompson were to come back, sure, you'd be nervous about whether he'd hurt himself again. And, it, you know, it's not a good time because he could re-aggravate the injury. It's a very serious one that he needed more time to heal. But in reality, when he's gonna, if he was back on the floor, you'd be cheering on for him just as much as any other time, and you'd be excited to watch that game. So I don't really like. I understand that you're nervous, but also just take a step back and realize it's just sports, and you get to watch your favorite player, one of your favorite players, the best 3-point shooter that the NBA has ever seen. You get to watch him return tonight after being out for an entire season, after the first four games, obviously. From the 510, yeah, from the 209, Jamarcus Russell. Seems like everyone understood Jamarcus Russell wasn't going to be that great except for Al Davis. From the 510, Mr. Davis. From the 510, Steph and Clay and Dre were never thought as superstars after 2 years. And that's true. And that's true. And you got to give them time. And maybe I'm being too forward on that. But also, Steph, Clay, and Dre weren't taken that high as draft picks either. Right? Steph was, for sure, but not that high to the point where they're number one overall. From the 510, is a Sharks game worth checking out? Man, yeah. That's just a random question, but yeah, Sharks game's always worth checking out. I highly recommend you get to an NHL game. And if the Sharks ever get into the playoffs, I highly recommend getting into a playoff game too. Man, I'm excited for tonight. I really just want to hear. There's a couple of things. We want to see the shimmy, but if I'm listening on the radio.com app and I'm listening to Tim Roy on the call, I want to hear at least three.
Curry! Curry! Curry!
That's what I'm looking forward to tonight. All right, coming up, Jolo and Dibs are going to be with, as I pull up the guest list, Tim Hardaway at 8 o'clock and Jim Barnett at 8:30. Hopefully they'll be joined by Bob Myers a little later on in the show. That remains to be seen. But thank you for joining me, everyone. We got to the bottom of it, who the best Bay Area ping pong player would be, and Steph Curry's return. That's all tonight coming up against the Raptors on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.